Welcome to Directions on the News for Tuesday, May 15th, 2007. This is Joe Francisco of Directions Media, and I'm joined by my colleague, Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor. Today we'll spend some time talking about Katmai, the next version of Microsoft SQL Server database, and its support for spatial data types. But first, a word from our sponsor. Digital Globe is the world leader for global commercial Earth imagery and the only geospatial content provider delivering end-to-end solutions for global imagery acquisition, access, and integration. The company's commitment to developing open systems and online access to the world's largest library of combined high-resolution satellite and aerial imagery makes Digital Globe the preferred content partner for imagery-enabled applications within the commercial sector. Find out more information about Digital Globe at www.digitalglobe.com. So I want to begin our discussion today by pointing out that Microsoft made an announcement last week at its first business intelligence conference about the new version of Microsoft SQL Server to be called Microsoft SQL Server 2008. It's rumored to have some 70 different spatial functions that will be offered in the new release, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. Adina, what do you know about it so far?
Right. It was announced last Wednesday at Microsoft's Business Intelligence Conference, which was being held in Seattle. A lot of geospatial folks were out in Seattle for the MapInfo conference last week. And in the original press release, the new release is positioned as part of Microsoft's vision for pervasive BI, which made me think that sort of the spatial part was just put in there in service of business intelligence. More details came out the next day when Ted Kummert, the vice president of Microsoft's Data and Storage Platform Division, gave a live demo. And per Steve Lombardi posting on our blog, he showed a web map client displaying data layers queried from SQL Spatial, which I guess is at least the current name of the spatial toolkit in there. Later that day, the Microsoft Virtual Earth team posted some bullets that they were told were, quote, okay to share at this point, unquote. So clearly Microsoft isn't letting too many details fall out. The new version is expected to ship in 2008. You noted that it was rumored to support 70 spatial methods and functions. I don't think that's a rumor. I think that's on good authority at this point. Most interesting, I think, for the geospatial community is that the spatial implementation will support two models, flat Earth or planar data type and a round Earth geodetic data type. And the Flat Earth one will support OGC simple features. And that's about all we know at this point. And I also want to point out that this announcement of the spatial was sort of hidden deep in a press release about the SQL Server release. And this really hasn't been picked up by the geospatial community, even though I think we would argue this is pretty important stuff.
And I would argue that it's potentially the biggest news of the year, except that the announcement was made with such a whimper that it's hard to understand what kind of emphasis Microsoft is putting on this. But given that SQL Server is used by a lot of different geospatial organizations, and in particular it was purchased because, you know, it had a lower price point than perhaps Oracle did, even though the users knew that it wouldn't support spatial data types, but yet it was being used. It was a relatively inexpensive, in particular for a lot of local governments. But now they've come out and said, hey, now we're going to support spatial data types. And it has potential ramifications all throughout the industry. Like you said, the fact that it was made at a BI conference is particularly interesting because now it's stomped its big foot into the enterprise space. Clearly a shot across the bow at Oracle at this point, which, you know, you have to wonder whether it's too late given Oracle's 10-year lead in developing support for spatial data.
Which has been evolving, and Locator is available free in Oracle XE. So Oracle has a big lead and a lot of users out there.
And a lot of what they put their emphasis on, at least what Oracle puts their emphasis on, is some of its scalability and security pieces, which have been through some rigorous government testing because of Oracle's big push into the government geospatial market. So, again, like you said, we have so few details at this point. It's a little disappointing that we didn't get a heads up about this and that more wasn't released. So certainly for our listeners, we're going to be digging into this a lot deeper in the next week or so.
We've already been in touch with Microsoft and hope to get, you know, at least what they're able to tell us at this point. We also suspect, although we don't know this for sure, that Microsoft will sort of make a more robust announcement to the geospatial community as more details become available. Because clearly this little corner, this little one phrase in a press release, you know, doesn't answer all the questions for the geospatial community. I think it's also worth pointing out that the other big differentiator in terms of the end users between an Oracle sort of solution and a SQL Server solution is that SQL Server has always been known to be far easier to administer. It's got a much more user-friendly interface, and I recall that just from my past experience working with ArcSDE and Oracle and ArcSDE and SQL Server. So that's another reason that sometimes these smaller organizations or ones that didn't have certified Oracle DBAs were much more comfortable with a SQL Server kind of solution.
So that's an interesting point. You know, now that we're moving into this era of very large spatial databases being able to carry some of the heavy lifting from some of the desktop GIS solutions, is that we're still beginning to categorize or compartmentalize some of the functionality of geospatial information. So if a lot of the heavy lifting is being done by, you know, the databases, and some of the data cleansing, the data hygiene is being done at the other end by ETL types of software like Safe Software or some of the raster functionality, you sort of cut out a lot of what had been done by the traditional solutions, which had to build up a very robust set of functionality. So kind of leaves you a little bit wondering, especially for users, how then do they go and purchase new components to do the work that they need to get done? They don't necessarily have to buy an all-encompassing GIS solution anymore. A lot of it they can rely on some of these niche software providers.
The other sort of competitor in this space, of course, is the spatial solutions from the open source marketplace, which again can compete on price in the sense that most of them can be certainly downloaded and used for free. You might need some consulting to get them up and running in the way that you want, but there certainly is a solution for Postgres, that's PostGIS. MySQL now has a spatial solution, and I understand there's also an open source solution for SQL Server. Sort of the marketplace for these kinds of solutions is getting bigger every day from both the commercial and the open source arenas.
I want to go back to the point that you made. Of course, this was made at an announcement at a BI conference, and that really this was clearly positioned as an enterprise play. At our conference at Location Intelligence last month, Oracle really came out, made more of a big deal about their applications being spatially enabled, especially in the CRM space and in some of the more analytical tools that they put on top of the Oracle database. We can speculate that this has got great possibilities in the geospatial arena, but it really does clearly look like the big battleground is in the enterprise analytical applications. And this is where Oracle and Microsoft want to play, it seems.
Now, do you think that the fact that it is sort of tied into this BI play is going to maybe pull the spatial implementation along maybe a little faster than it was at Oracle? Does that give it more weight within the Microsoft hierarchy of which software gets developed first?
Yeah, that's a good point. What application is going to be spatially enabled first, and where do they see that battleground being? Is it going to be in the customer information systems? Is it going to be in something like supply chain? Is it going to be in more in the financial arena? All of which, both companies have niche applications. So it's kind of interesting when you think about that, because now you're dragging in the IT side of the house of any corporation, who now has to become a little bit more spatially astute.
And I think that's sort of in contrast to what happened at Oracle. It's my sense that for a number of years at Oracle, they announced this spatial extension, and they weren't exactly sure who to sell it to or how to sell it. And it took some time for it to sort of settle down and fit in, but the fact that at Microsoft, it's clearly being first pushed into this BI space may give it a bit of an advantage. It also may make it more challenging for the what we refer to as the traditional GIS marketplace to get its hands around it and get it implemented.
Well, I had an interesting conversation last week with one of the MapInfo sales reps who covers the insurance industry, and he was telling me that they are now having to bring in the IT guys, or they have to address the IT department's concern, because they're going to be part of the process of managing and implementing and taking care of that type of an application. And the real problem for them is not necessarily understanding spatial, but it's one more application to support. And that's the way the IT community looks at it. So, we may have our great geospatial guys in the corner who know all about processing geographic data, but they got to still deal with an IT part of the house. Whether you're in government or business, it doesn't matter. The IT guys are always now going to get involved. And there's an education process that goes there. And for them, it's just one more thing to worry about. And that's kind of the rub right now. And I still think there's a great deal of education that has to be done in the IT community about what geospatial functionality is going to do for the organization and for having to make a business case for bringing in geospatial technology, because it's there now. It's there. You buy the database, Oracle Locator is there for free. I imagine we may see something similar with SQL Server.
One final thought as we ponder something that's, to my mind, we've been expecting this for years. I think you made the comment that previously a Microsoft executive had said that in the last release it just didn't make the cut, and now it has.
Right.
But I think we need to drive even back further and remember that the first very large implementation of SQL Server was Terra Server. That the idea was to have that database handle and manage large amounts of data, and the data they chose to use was spatial data. So in a sense, Microsoft has come back full circle and come back to that. So the other question to add on to this list of questions we have with this new technology is, how will SQL Server's spatial implementation be used as a tool for the virtual Earth teams and the other geospatial technologies currently in use at Microsoft?
We'll be looking to address those questions very soon to the Microsoft team, and we'll get back to our listeners and our readers with more information as it becomes available. So thanks for joining us today for another Directions Media podcast. We'd like to remind you that Digital Globe is the world leader for global commercial Earth imagery, and the only geospatial content provider delivering end-to-end solutions for global imagery access and integration. Find out more information about Digital Globe at www.digitalglobe.com. Thanks again for joining us. Join us next week for another Directions Media podcast, and be sure to tell a friend.